Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now to a lovely story. We may have a future Irish Formula One star in our hands. Laura O'Connell is a native of Broadford in County Clare. Is one step closer to her motor racing dream by having just qualified for the first ever Formula Woman Nations Cup. So she's making motorsport history and is just back from Dubai. Is that right, Laura?
Yes, just back.
Laura O'Connell, good morning to you. We're going to be watching you very, very closely. So tell us what happened just a few days ago.
So I'm just back from Dubai. We had a qualifying session in Dubai Autodrome. So we had three different qualifying sessions throughout the day, only one lap to make a fast time and put it up on the board. So it was quite difficult, but I managed to go out in my first session and set a qualifying time. So I qualified my first session, and then the other two, I just went out and enjoyed the day. But yeah, I'm very happy I qualified 17th, so top 20, I'm very happy with that.
Delighted that you got to relax into it.
Exactly.
So you've qualified, and what's going to happen next May, is it?
Next May, so the 1st to the 4th of May, the actual race is taking place. It's going to be kind of like a Formula One format where you've got free practice, qualifying on the Saturday, and then you've got the race on the Sunday.
That's so decide your pole position, your position basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So your qualifying is going to determine where you are on the grid, where you start the race from.
It's a circuit track. It sounds like it's indoor if it's a drome, is it?
No, it's outdoor. Oh, it's outdoor track. I think it was originally made for Formula One, but so it's an amazing track. It's really, really good. We're on the circuit track, which is the club circuit, which is a little bit smaller than the Grand Prix circuit, but it's a really lovely track, and the weather's quite nice out there, so it's a nice track to be on.
There are different levels of this kind of high-end racing in Formula One and F1, 2, 3 and 4. Yeah. So what kind of car are you racing in?
So I'm racing a Radical SR3 XXR, that's what it's called. It's got a Suzuki bike engine in it. It's got 200 brake horsepower, so it's quite a quick car. It's got good aerodynamics, so it's really nice to drive.
Does it look like an F1 car? I was looking online this morning.
It looks a little bit like one. It's a little bit wider. It's got two seats in it,
it's
a bit bigger. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes it harder to.
It can be, yeah.
Turns it, I would imagine.
Kind of to figure out where you are on the track, it can be a little bit harder. But
what sort of speeds are you doing on the straight?
On the straight, up to about 220 kilometres an hour. So, yeah, they're quick. But
that
even in corners, they're really quick.
Like, you know, 120 on a motorway seems fast, particularly if somebody's going slow on a cold, on a hard shoulder. 220 is unfathomable
to pretty quick, yeah.
To all of us.
It's quite thrilling.
what is the skill of this particular sport? Because the engineers obviously have a huge job to do.
Of course, yeah.
But it's the reactions, isn't it? And it's almost psychotic. Mm-hmm. The tiny reactions
that
make such a difference.
It's crazy. Like, you do a lot of reaction training within all the training that I do. You kind of, like, for me, because I come from a GA background, I often hit a ball off the wall and just react, you know, catch it.
And you still do that as a kind of a...
Yeah, I still use my camogie skills to test my reactions. we have, like, ruler. If you try and catch a ruler quite quickly, if someone drops it and you have to try and catch it as soon as possible, there's lots of different kind of reaction tests, but you have to be really quick on.
I feel like throwing something to see what would happen, but it might scare me, like in an action movie where someone catches something they're not anticipating.
Yeah, it's crazy, but there's a lot more training involved as well than reactions. You have to be really fit to be in a car.
And
like
you were
this.
Always sporty.
I was always sporty, so getting back into fitness after COVID was not too bad for me. I've been training. I have a personal trainer. We also have a training program with Formula Woman. So I've been doing a lot of training. Your shoulders have to be quite strong, your arms, your neck, because you're experiencing a lot of G-forces in the car.
Yeah.
So you have to be quite strong and fit.
My God.
Well.
Yeah. There's so much to
There's a lot
on,
to it,
there?
I think, that people don't realise, you know, and you have to get as much track time as possible as well to just be as great as possible. I have a simulator at home, a racing sim as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It looks like a gaming thing. But it's as close as you can get to being in the car without actually being in the car. So I've got all the tracks that I need on the sim, and I practice them every day before I go racing wherever I'm going.
Your man, who's obviously the champion of everything for the last couple of years, Max Verstappen, this is how he trains as well.
Yes.
That's what he's always
he
done.
He loves the same, yeah.
And particularly because he's one of the kids from a kind of a normal background who didn't come from the money that's sometimes required, isn't it, to get into this sport?
There's a lot of money required in motorsport, yeah. So,
but that's changed everything, this simulation.
The simulator, yeah, because, I mean, they are expensive to buy, but once you have it in your home or wherever, you know, you're getting basically free track time every time that you get it.
Free
get
after you paid for it.
After you paid for it, yeah.
Is it a very expensive thing or is it like...
It can be. It can be a few grand. So it is expensive to have.
Okay.
But, you know, racing in itself is so expensive.
That's why it's covered in sponsors.
Yes, exactly. So like to get to the likes of Formula One or IndyCar, whatever it is, you know, the higher racing series, you need to have sponsors backing you. There's no way... most people could pay for it themselves.
Can I ask you quickly about your own sporting history? Did you play camogie from a young age up? Was that your first sport?
Yeah, that was my first sport. I played camogie the whole way up until I was 19 or 20, I think.
Did you write camogie the way past it?
Yeah.
You went to do a very big degree?
I went to NUI Galway. I did my science degree in NUI Galway. And then I went on and studied acting in the Lear Academy and the Gaiety School of Acting for a while as well. So I did a big change of
It's one of those people who are good at everything.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I like a lot of
things. Did you do the full Lear course?
I didn't do the full Lear course, no. I did the part-time course and I did audition last year for the full-time course. I got to the last round, but unfortunately didn't get in. There's only 16 places on that course, so
yeah,
it's really competitive.
And tell us what you do for your main job alongside all this incredible time-consuming sport.
So I'm also a woman in STEM. I'm a biochemist. I work for an American medical diagnostic company at home in Clare. I work in quality control, so I'm testing products before they're sent out to the customer. It's an interesting job.
You're breaking every rule, basically. You know, you've kept the sport going past the 15, 16, where women often drop out.
Yeah.
You're in science, you've got a full-time job there, and now you want to break this major glass ceiling in F1.
Yeah, I would love to at least try to get to that stage. You know, there's so many opportunities within motorsport, so if I can get the sponsor to back me, I'm going to... try and get as far as I can.
So besides everything you're describing, juggling the full-time job, this hobby which requires dropping rulers and playing camogie as well, you also have to go out and find sponsors as well. Is that a part of your job or is there not a team now backing you that's doing it?
I mean, yeah, I have a lot of people helping me out, but, you know, at the end of the day, they want to see the person behind the wheel. You know, that's who they want to talk to.
Sense.
You know,
yeah,
they want to see the experienced person. You know, they want to see, like, that's the thing as well. You need experience before you get... sponsorship, and it's hard to get the experience because it's so expensive.
I was about to say the acting course is going to come in handy meeting sponsors. You're going to have to show a personality behind the wheel as well.
Yeah. So
who's on your team?
So my parents, they're my biggest supporters. They
literally
come everywhere with me. Yeah. My sister is also very supportive. And then
what's your sister's name?
Rachel. She's studying in RCSI at the moment, physiotherapy. So she's going to be my physio, hopefully, when she's
family
done.
With brains to burden. She's in RCSI, so she's in the medicine field.
She's physio, yeah.
Your parents, were cars big at home? Was racing a big thing?
From my father, yes. He did some seat tests when he was younger and he has watched racing his whole life. So I've grown up watching it.
What was a seat test? Was it?
He did some... like amateur racing when he was younger.
Oh, okay.
And so I've grown up always knowing about it. He also helped out in the Galway Rally for a few years. So I've always been around the motorsport industry. I just didn't dabble in it for quite a while myself.
The smell of diesel is in the, and petrol.
Yes, my favourite smell.
Your favourite smell. What was your first kind of rallying experience then? What I'd call the normal rallying cars in Ireland that go down Boreens?
Yeah,
so
I've never been in a rally car myself, but I've watched rallying.
Really?
I love watching it. I think there's an extra side of crazy, I think, in the rally drivers.
Oh my God. I went to the Killarney Rally of the Lakes.
Yeah.
And it's like a whole culture, a whole scene that I didn't know existed. And I notice people interested in rally have no interest in any other sport.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's consuming, isn't it?
Rallying is huge in Ireland. That's the biggest industry in the motorsport side in Ireland.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of rally drivers around the world that love to come to Ireland because the roads are amazing.
Terrible, amazing.
Yeah.
Good for their job.
Exactly.
And a dangerous sport as well. You really need to know what you're doing.
Really dangerous.
But you didn't actually do that. So you were...
No, I chose to go to circuit racing, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And is there any circuit scene in Ireland at all?
I mean, there is Mondello. We've got Mondello in Kildare, which I've only honestly been there to get my racing licence. All my racing is done in the UK just because... I suppose the UK is kind of the pinnacle of motorsport, isn't it? It's like the epicentre of all motorsport. So there's something on every weekend and there's always really big crowds at all of the races that I go to. So, and there's something on every weekend, which, you know, so you can get there and do a race every weekend if you wanted to. But
and not too far away. So it is quite handy for Irish people.
It's only an hour flight.
Aren't more of us involved? The karting is big in Ireland, though.
Karting is big in Ireland, yeah. You've got Motorsport Ireland Karting Championships and the Tillotson T4 Series, which I was taking part in last year and probably this year as well. So the karting scene, I suppose it's something that you start off with when you're quite young, ideally. That's where, if someone is looking to get into motorsport, karting is the place to start. Mm-hmm. It's where all the big drivers start, is in karting. So the scene in Ireland, it's getting bigger. Again, it's still something that's so expensive. It's like all big sports, it's hard to keep going.
Yeah.
But there's like 12 races or something a year, I think, in total. So it's good.
A fair bit of karting, didn't you?
I did a little bit last year, yeah. And hopefully this year now I'll do a bit more.
Does that help when you get into the...
Yeah, it's like karting is almost easier than going from a car that's totally different to the Radical. It's nearly easier to go from karting into the Radical because you're exposed. There's really competitive racing in karting. So it's really good experience for getting into the Radical.
Are you a very competitive person?
I am very competitive. So when I don't do well, I'm very disappointed.
Oh, let yourself down, beat yourself up.
Yeah. My own worst enemy sometimes.
Oh my God, that sounds incredible. We don't have enough women like you to look up to. So when you were growing up, you didn't really have the icons, did you? Who were your heroes?
For me, I grew up with Ayrton Senna and Michael Schumacher on my wall.
Of course, yeah.
So like they were my heroes growing up. But now there's a lot more women coming through. You've got the likes of Jamie Chadwick, who's in IndyCar over in the US. She's also set up a full karting series in the UK.
Yeah.
And you've got the F1 Academy girls that are following the Formula One series. So there's definitely a lot more women getting into motorsport and there's a lot more idols to look up to. But I hope that I can inspire some young people, whether it's motorsport or any kind of sport, that they just go after whatever it is that they want
to do. I think having met you today, I've no doubt, absolutely no doubt about it. Not all in the car either, because we spoke here to Bernie Collins a couple of months ago.
Oh, Bernie's amazing.
And from the engineering world, and she was a strategist, wasn't she?
She was a really good strategist for Sauber F1 team, and now she is the go-to woman on Sky F1 Sports. So it's amazing to see her doing so well, and she's got so much knowledge. So she's a huge inspiration for a lot of young people, for sure.
She's a big deal. In your house then, when you were growing up and you were saying, look, I want to go into rallying, nobody was saying, that's not an option, unfortunately.
No, they weren't. It's not something I really brought up when I was younger. It's something I didn't, no one around me was doing it. I come from a huge GAA county, County Clare, of course.
Yeah.
I come from a huge GAA family. So it was something that I never even thought I could do. I've obviously been watching it, but there was no women doing it. So it wasn't something I ever brought up really until recently in the last few years. Never told me, no, you can't. My parents never told me or my sister that there was nothing that we couldn't do. You know, we grew up playing lots of different sports and they never told us no.
Encouraging.
They're very encouraging, very supportive.
So this is quite recent for you and yet you're already in this.
Quite recent, the last 3 or 4 years. So I've really kind of progressed quite quickly, I suppose, through.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, I was just right place, right time kind of a thing. Came across Formula Woman during COVID and I entered their competition and I've been with them since. So.
What are your hopes for that particular competition next May, since you're so soon into your career?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I would love to be in the top 10. This time I was top 20. I'd be aiming. I know I can do top 10, but it's...
Just to remind people, this is a global
event. This is global, yeah. There's 50 women from all over the world competing. But yeah, there's some really quick girls there. So I will be working really hard to get into that top 10, but I believe I can do it.
So. What a rush that's going to be, by the way. Is there a little bit of you thinking it's a pity this is a Formula Woman's event only and that it's not mixed or that?
No, I think it's something because there is also a docuseries coming out with it that it will hopefully give all those women more exposure.
Yeah.
I do like competing against the boys. The boys don't like us competing against them too much. But I do like, you know, the mixed races. But I think for what Formula Woman are trying to do, it's really great that it's all women from all over the world. There's so many different cultures, so many different stories going to be involved in this. So
this is the beginning, isn't it?
This is the beginning, yeah.
Because what Netflix have done for Formula One, it's created
exactly
like
the drive
kind of a niche
survive.
Sport. I know it's an enormous billion-dollar industry, but it has spread it so enormously.
It's brought a lot of women into motorsport as well.
Right.
You know, so many women watch Drive to Survive and are now racing or even just going to watch races. And it's really nice to see the amount of women that have started to turn up.
The irony of an event in Dubai supporting women's sport.
Exactly.
Camille, is there an easy reason why there? Is it against the rules for women to compete in F1 right now? Or
no, it's not. It's just
about qualifying.
And they don't lack talent. You know, the women that are, you know, making their way up, they're just as talented as all the boys. It's completely due to sponsorship, you know, getting on the right team and getting the sponsors behind them that will pay for their journey to Formula One.
Well, this is the beginning. Great to meet you, and we'll
thank you
we'll be chatting to you again when you're on a podium somewhere soon. Laura O'Connell, that's in Dubai in May, by the way. The Formula Women's Nations Cup is next May. We'll be following this story. But Laura O'Connell, and we wish you and all your family down in Broadford,
so
County Clare, a happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Best
you
of
too.
Luck.
Thanks,
enjoy.
Oliver.